And here's your audio cast for Friday, April 4th, 2008 from AvWeb, the Internet's general aviation news service and magazine. Brought to you by IFR, the magazine for the accomplished pilot. Mike Blakeney reporting. Well, last Monday's podcast with a California pilot who was intercepted in his Pilatus and shadowed by an F-16 in a military operations area, MOA, ignited a firestorm of debate on our blog site, the AvWeb Insider. And to be fair, we thought it would be interesting to interview an F-16 pilot who has faced this very scenario from the other side of the spectrum, so we found one, and that's coming up in just a minute. But first, some reader-listener email regarding the story Pilatus pilot Patrick McCall's brush with an F-16. First, listener Bill writes in, "I've been flying since 1965, but I do not know what this gentleman is complaining about. He was in an active MOA. The MOAs are published to give us notice they were going through a training area. I am often intercepted in the MOA southwest of Cannon Air Force Base, and the F-16s often fly very close in front of me so that I fly through their wake. I accept the possibility of this intercept practice of theirs by choosing to fly through their training area. If I were the FAA guy, I would have said something like, stay out of the training areas and the F-16s will stay inside them." And this note from listener Mike, "So exactly what is the story? A couple of pilots got surprised, frightened when they got an up close and personal look at a pair of F-16s in a MOA? Isn't this Flight School 101? Others have met with disaster in this scenario. That's why we as pilots have a very real consideration to safety when it comes to the choice of flying through or around an active MOA. The real story here isn't a pilot scared of receiving a flight violation for busting Class A airspace and making excuses to save his pilot record, is it? Unless there is something more to this story that I missed or wasn't reported in the podcast, I would be very interested in your reply and to read other comments as well." Well, we're taking care of that today for you, Mike. Listener Fred wrote in to say, "After reading the article and listening to the podcast, it seems you have biased your reports toward the operators of the Pilatus and the BizJets and have possibly failed to include pertinent facts. As a retired F-16 pilot, I have done and would have done what these F-16 pilots did. Although VFR operations are permitted in a MOA, it isn't prudent to do so. An issue that was not established was whether or not the civilian pilots knew the MOA was in operation. AOPA advises prudent pilots will contact any flight service station within 100 miles of a MOA to find out whether or not the airspace is active before they attempt to transit the area." He goes on to say that the civilian pilots contributed to a hazardous situation by operating in a MOA simply because they could. Did the F-16 pilots operate in a hazardous fashion? Absolutely not. Aggressively, maybe. He says the civilian pilots should have gone around the MOA. Well, we appreciate all of your comments. You're welcome to comment on any of our podcasts at audionews@avweb.com. Now, Lieutenant Colonel Fred Clifton, a retired F-16 pilot who now instructs in the Air Force's Weapons School at Nellis Air Force Base in Las Vegas, joined the debate from the military pilot's perspective. AvWeb's Russ Niles spoke with him about why it's important that civilian pilots be aware of and avoid active MOAs.
Well, the first thing, you know, there's something that both the AOPA and the National Transportation Safety Board recommend is to contact the controlling agency prior to entering and get an idea of whether or not the MOA is actually active or not. Of course, that can be done during pre-flight planning. You know, MOAs are depicted on charts with their operating times, which doesn't mean they're always active, but those are the times that you can anticipate activities be going on. But obviously contacting the controlling agency and making sure whether or not the area is active.
Okay, something that's come through loud and clear since this discussion started, and by the way, it started with a complaint by a couple of pilots who were crossing the Gladden MOA near Luke Air Force Base. They were intercepted and shadowed by F-16s. This is something that happens relatively regularly, is that correct?
I would say incursions of civilian aircraft into MOAs is a relatively regular occurrence. The fact that the F-16s actually intercepted and shadowed them, I would say that's probably less than 50% of the time. Usually it's to avoid the area they're in or fly above or below the altitude that they're at.
But it's not something that's so uncommon that it's unusual, right?
I would not put it in a totally abnormal category, no.
You've done it.
I absolutely have when I felt that the civilian aircraft has been a safety hazard to the flight. And that's where the big discussion gets started is, you know, who is the safety hazard, the military aircraft operating in the military operating area or the civilian aircraft
The other thing that's come through pretty clearly is just how disruptive a civilian aircraft in an active MOA is. Can you describe what happens when one shows up and you're busy there?
Well, let's use Gladden Airspace as an example, because this is where this happened. A lot of times you'll operate in that MOA as a military aircraft without positive control. In this case, again, with the Gladden MOA, Albuquerque Center will clear you into the airspace. You're on an IFR flight plan with a ZFR delay in that airspace, and you pick up the remainder of your IFR flight plan when you exit. You're still operating VFR in that MOA, but that allows you to operate it at within the altitude constraints. So you're probably not talking to anyone. You're on a tactical frequency. Albuquerque Center may be monitoring that, but you're not generally in direct communication with Albuquerque Center. You could have AWACS monitoring the area or ground controllers monitoring the area, but that is not always the case. When a civilian aircraft does enter, you know, any one of those agencies, center, AWACS, or the ground controllers, if they are up on frequency or part of the scenario, can warn you. And if the traffic can be avoided, you'll avoid it. You'll put a bubble, about a 5-mile bubble around the person in 1,000 feet plus or minus from their altitude. But if someone's flying right through the middle, then generally what you're going to have to do is knock off your training and wait for them to transit while you're sitting there or actually flying there burning fuel and not getting anything out of the missions. Now, if it's only a couple of airplanes or maybe 4 airplanes in the airspace, it may not be an issue. But if you get 8, 12, or more, then you know, where are the fighters going to run, hide, or avoid? And again, with a fighter aircraft, you're very limited on fuel, and eventually you're just going to have to King's X the entire exercise or training scenario and go home because, you know, the civilian aircraft is a conflict.
What sort of hazards have you seen in your career? Like, what sort of experiences have you had with civilian aircraft?
Well, you know, biggest has been disruption of the training scenario. As I mentioned in one of my emails, that fighter pilots don't get to fly a whole lot, especially these days with lack of budget and drawdown in units and training. When I was a young pilot, we were flying 250 hours to 300 hours per year. Nowadays, you know, the average fighter pilot maybe get 125 to 150. So, you know, the training scenario itself is a very precious commodity. But what I have seen, in addition to basically having to knock it off and maybe potentially going home, is if we're out there operating without any positive control, the potential of aircraft running over each other. And I've seen some fairly close calls, especially when we're operating at all altitudes, meaning from basically surface to maybe as high as 50,000 feet, then we're setting ourselves up to run over somebody, especially when you think about the speed disparities between the military aircraft, the fighter, and your average general aviation aircraft. And even though you may pick a person up visually and or on radar, because the overtake is so great, it sometimes gets very difficult to maneuver your airplane out of the way. But everyone's doing everything legally.
One of the issues that was raised by the pilot that complained in our podcast and in our story was the actual shadowing of his airplane at relatively close range. We can't know exactly how close. But you say that's a safe maneuver. Is that correct?
It should be a safe maneuver if it's done under control, which fighter pilots are trained to do. You know, we depart as a formation and we recover as a formation. So, you know, a lot of civilians are unfamiliar with formation fly, but, you know, when a guy gets into a fighter aircraft, he is shown a lot of ability to fly in close proximity to that aircraft and control overtake. So what to us may look very safe and very controlled, obviously in this case, looked very aggressive and uncontrolled, where in fact, I'm sure the F-16 pilot, and I have done this also, has had that intercept very much under control before closing in that fast. Should you have gotten that close? Well, that's to argue, but and we'll have to wait for the facts to play themselves out, but not necessarily an unsafe maneuver. Aggressive, no. Yes, but unsafe, I would say not.
Now, I'd like to think that if I was flying through an MOA and an F-16 came up on my wing, I would think that it was the coolest thing ever, but I understand you've had some pilots who didn't think it was all that cool.
That's correct. At times we've been able to, at least in the F-16, we have a VHF radio, so we can get in direct contact with, or the area's controlling agency or monitoring agency is able to get in contact with them. Hey, can you move east or west or north or south? And the answer's been a very belligerent no. I mean, point B is on my nose, and that's where I'm going to go, and I will not be inconvenienced with a few extra minutes and a few extra gallons of fuel to get where I'm going. I'm legal to be here. You know, your answer has to be, you don't want to get belligerent back, but yes, sir, you are, and you know, we'll continue doing what we need to do until you're out of the air, airspace.
Okay, your advice to civilian pilots who have a flight plan that's going to take them off over an MOA?
Well, if they have a flight plan, obviously if it's an IFR flight plan, they cannot enter, and the controlling agency will not let them enter because the MOA is designed to keep IFR aircraft separated, so an IFR aircraft will not be allowed into the MOA. Obviously, if an aircraft is on a VFR flight plan, even with flight following, the controlling agency has no authority to vector them around. They can give advisories, but since they are operating VFR, they are totally legal to be there. My advice would be, obviously, going back to my original point, find out if the area is active. If it's not active, press right on through. But if it is active, go around. I mean, you're costing those pilots a training opportunity. That's tens of thousands of dollars of taxpayers' money that's being wasted if they have to knock it off or alter their training scenario where they're not going to meet the learning objectives they set for that mission.
Well, thanks very much, Colonel. You've put a lot of things in perspective for us, and we'll get this out there and see what people have to say about it.
All right, Russ, I appreciate it. Thanks for the time.
Okay, thanks.
And that's Lieutenant Colonel Fred Clifton, a retired F-16 pilot. Today's audio cast is brought to you by IFR, the magazine for the accomplished pilot. Learn more or subscribe at ifr-magazine.com. Comments on this audio cast welcome. Audio news at avweb.com. Mike Lakeney reporting. Thanks for listening.